Tracy, Congress is so busy right now. I mean, you've had some late night things going on, especially on the Senate side in recent days. But the main thing you all have been working on is getting funding done for some of these overseas pieces. Now, Speaker Johnson said that he wanted to break the different areas of foreign funding into separate bills, and he did that. How did you end up voting on each of the individual pieces?
Yeah, so the Speaker broke them up. You know, first off, one of the biggest issues facing the country is our southern border, and I was disappointed that there was nothing in regards to funding for the border in the bills. That said, I voted for a additional supplemental monies for Israel, about $26 billion. There was another bill that would provide additional funding for Indo-Pacific, you know, Taiwan and various, you know, interests we have in that part of the world. I voted for that. And then there was additional money, another $60 billion for Ukraine. I voted against the Ukraine supplemental bill on Saturday afternoon.
Okay. And just you explained why you voted for the Israel bill. Why vote against the Ukraine one?
Yeah, you know, I want, of course, you know, we do not want to see Vladimir Putin win, want Ukraine to succeed. My concern is the lack of oversight and accountability for the monies that we spent so far and the money that we'd be spending here, first and foremost. Secondly, there's been no clear plan, strategy, direction from the president and others on what the goal is or what we're trying to accomplish there. And so I voted against that. There was a fourth bill that would force a divestiture of TikTok and also they're called the Repo Act, which would allow the sale of certain assets controlled by Russians in Ukraine to help fund the war. And I voted for that as well. So there's four bills. I voted for three of them, but not for the fourth one.
Okay. And I think that was important to the speaker, at least from what I read in the national media, to have each Congress member be able to vote their conscience on each piece of this rather than to try to bundle everything together. And I'll be honest with you, as someone who covered the Kansas legislature and has watched Congress for a while, it's refreshing to see an approach that says, hey, we want to give people an up or down vote on individual issues as opposed to making you have to decide what you're going to hold your nose for or not.
I agree, and I wish we would did that a lot more often on a lot of other issues as well, you know, on spending bills or a lot of things. All sorts of issues, topics, various things get thrown together, and then you've got an up or down decision. I think much better public policy when we can divide things up to much smaller pieces, and then people can vote from there on every individual topic instead of these multi-subject, large, all-encompassing bills.
All right. This month, you introduced a Congressional Review Act joint resolution to nullify an EPA rule from the Biden administration requiring energy producers to invest in technology to monitor methane. And can you explain that? I mean, obviously, the Big First District has a whole lot of cattle yards and feed and that kind of thing. So that's, I'm sure, part of this, but explain what the rationale might be from the Biden administration and why that doesn't work.
Well, at the end of the day, Nick, you know, the administration continues this war on fossil fuels and biofuels as well, really all things liquid fuels. And so they do that a lot of different ways. The most recent effort now is the EPA, yet another regulation that would force monitoring of certain methane gas emissions from certain plants, certain oil and gas producers. And at the end of the day, though, they're doing this in effort to try to shut them down, make it more costly. One of the reasons that we have the inflation we have in this country is this war on our liquid fuels that have to stop. And so I introduced legislation along with a couple other members from West Texas that would nullify or strike down this very bad rule coming out of the EPA yet again from the Biden administration.
Also, the EPA is not taking any more new liquid natural gas shipments out to overseas. And that's it's another case of this whole the war against fossil fuels thing, isn't it?
No, that's exactly right. You know, in our country and in our state, we can produce a lot of natural gas, and we have tremendous reserves. We ought to be using those, exporting those, benefiting from that, instead of, you know, the administration stepping in and banning the or stopping the export of LNG liquefied natural gas. And when he does this, you know, it's bad for oil and gas producers, bad for all consumers because prices go up when you have less of the supply, which is what will happen long term. It also benefits Vladimir Putin, you know, as he's using fossil fuels, you know, in this funding of the war against Ukraine.
We'll get back to overseas in a second, but I don't want to forget about the farm bill. I don't want to run out of time and not talk to you about it because you have spoken now 25 times on the floor of the House to say, hey, let's get moving on this. Has there been any help at all on the other end?
I'm starting to be, and yeah, I've taken to the floor 25 times to remind Congress of the importance of the Farm Bill. The House Ag Committee, you know, I serve on the House Ag Committee, and every indication is we're going to mark up the Farm Bill or have a votes at the committee level for the Farm Bill here next month when we get back to Washington, D.C. It's way past time that we do that. Try to get the Farm Bill, the text released, get it out of committee onto the floor to keep this process moving forward. Way overdue. To get our farm bill done for this year.
All right. And we're talking about still a five-year farm bill, right?
Yes, that's correct. That would start on October the 1st.
Okay.
So this fiscal year.
The deadline then is September 30th, like it always is for everything, because that's when the federal fiscal year ends. Okay.
That's correct. And I remind people in Washington all the time, why are farm bills 5 years? They need to be long enough to provide some certainty for our producers, but short enough so that it can be looked at, adjusted, and changed with the times. And if you compare where agriculture is today versus where it was 5 years ago, 6 years ago now, 2018, the biggest difference, Nick, is our dramatic increase in our input costs. So that's why we need to get a good farm bill locked in for Kansas for our producers moving forward.
It's a struggle, Tracy, always to get the rural and urban parts of Congress to agree on things. The Farm Bill is still heavily tipped toward nutrition programs much more than the traditional farm programs that you and I talk about all the time, like crop insurance and things like that. But does it feel like at least this time around the farmers are actually going to get something out of this Farm Bill?
Well, you know, the biggest thing ag producers tell me constantly throughout the district, and, you know, I'm doing town halls this week, is the importance of crop insurance. And so, you know, crop insurance is a very successful public-private partnership. It is essential for our producers in our state. You know, we are in low-moisture, high-risk agriculture. So making sure that we protect, strengthen, fortify crop insurance, my top priority with this farm bill we're working on right now.
Okay, so we'll leave that alone for the moment, but as the situation in the Middle East flexes and we try to find out what's going on, support for Israel still seems to be, at the moment, bipartisan. I feel like I ought to knock on something when I say that. But now that Iran has made a direct attack on Israel, first time that I can ever remember that happening, how important is it for the United States to stand behind Israel the way that they did during that attack? There were some, at the very least, quite a bit of resources put in that general direction. What's the goal here in terms of helping Israel while still trying to keep the conflict down to where it is?
Yeah, well, Nick, the biggest thing is we have got to make it crystal clear to the world, every country in the world, including in the Middle East and including Iran, that we stand with our ally, Israel, in the Middle East. And 10 days ago, you referenced that Iran directly attacked Israel. Understand the scale of this attack. This was over 200 drones that were sent from Iran into Israel. It was 30 cruise missiles. It was over 100 ballistic missiles launched from Iran, some of their installations as well in Syria, Yemen, also, but the overwhelming majority of them directly from Iran into Israel. Fortunately, there are weapon systems like, defense systems like the Iron Dome and others that, that intercepted those. But make them clear, crystal clear, Iran has said publicly they want to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. And then to do things like that, that's why we've got to stand with our ally Israel in the Middle East.
Wouldn't it seem to be more in keeping with standing with Israel to allow for some of this fossil fuel stuff to happen? Because just as Russia has fossil fuels and aren't afraid to try to export them wherever they can, Iran, sanctions or no, is going to try to do the same thing. And so I guess I feel like on the one hand, if the administration says we support Israel, but on the other hand, they say, but we're not going to make it easier for the market to live without Iranian and Russian oil, that those things seem at cross purposes.
No, it's absolutely. It's sending mixed messages. Don't forget, the administration chose last year to unfreeze around $6 billion of Iranian assets that have been frozen. So we effectively give the Iranians or freeze $6 billion. And then, you know, you look up and a few months later, we have this horrible attack from Hamas on Israel on October the 7th of last year. And then we have things like what we've witnessed here this year with Iran directly attacking Israel. So we need to make it really tough on the Iranians. We need to, and part of that is having a robust oil supply and oil production here in our country so that we're less reliant on foreign sources of oil. It's just common sense, and unfortunately, that's not been our policy as of late.